The chairperson of the committee is not well. He's not feeling well at all. He's off sick booked by the doctor. So on behalf of the committee, we wish him a speedy recovery. Emily, you can pass that to the chairperson. But before we even continue, I would love us to introduce ourselves so that as we continue the meeting, we know exactly who is in the house and whom are we talking to. Let me begin with the portfolio committee and give this chance to the portfolio committee to introduce themselves. I am Nomalungelo Kina. I'm the member of the committee. Can I start with you, Honorable Makubelela?
Thanks, Acting Chair. I'm Zondi Silence Makubele, a member of this committee as well.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Aaron Pontane, member of this committee. Thank you. And welcoming the new name.
Morning, everyone. My name is Wendy Nelson, also a member of the committee.
My name is Crosby Money. I'm an additional member of the committee. Tobe.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Andrikus van der Westhuizen. I'm a member of the committee. And my apologies also for my colleague who has had a meeting at 9 o'clock with Minister Nzimande and who seems to be running late. Thank you.
Philip Dexter, member of the committee.
Thank you, members. Honourable members, can I go to the staff, please? Amen.
Good morning. My name is Mampao, Committee Research.
Good morning. My name is Faith Kwaza from the Parliamentary Communication Services.
Thank you. Can I come? Oh, I'm sorry.
Morning. My name is Francis Weshe from GCIS Buwanyesi.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Vanelle Keto from the Auditor General.
Good morning, my name is Ashleen from PNG.
Vanelle coming is Gom Secretary.
Okay, can I just go to my far right? I don't say they're the right wingers, but yeah. Can I go to my right and get the introduction from the department? Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Omeka Shalem. I'm the Chief Director for Finance in the department.
Good morning. My name is Amelia Poorman. I'm the Director of Financial Service in the department.
Good morning. My name is Mvuyisi Matligama, Chief Director in the National Skills Fund, Department of Higher Education.
Good morning, my name is Percy Moleka. I'm the DDG Skills Development in the department.
Good morning, Zelke Vag, Price Walter Raskooper, assisting the National Skills Fund with the financial statements.
Good morning, Jefferson. Tien Sturdy, CFO, Higher Education and Training.
Good morning, my name is Faisal Tofi. I'm responsible for monitoring and evaluation, Department of Higher Education and Training.
Good morning, my name is Eddie Machadi Bodu. I'm the chairperson of the NSA.
Good morning. My name is Thabo Mashongwane, the Director of National Skills Authority Secretariat.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Let me apologize again for the DG. The DG has just gone out for a very short and brief meeting. He'll be joining us right now. He has been here. He apologized that he's just going out for that meeting. Before we start, Anil, are there any apologies other than the apologies that you have just mentioned from the members? Okay. And again, our committee, I think we are just visited by a dark cloud because we've got another member who has been sick for quite a long time by the name of Honorable Nzigi Magalzi. I just want to remind you that one of our members really is quite sick and she's quite critical in your prayers if ever you can remember her so that she can recover and come back and join us. Today today you are having the presentation from the National Skills Authority and also the National Skills Fund. And members, this is their first annual report since 2010, where they've been given this task to carry out under the Department of Higher Education and Training. So I just wanted to bear in mind that this is their first annual report. And amongst the two, we are going to start with the National Skills Authority. They are the first ones that are going to give us their presentation. Then after that, we are going to get a presentation from the National Skills Fund. I think I'll end over to Mr. Eddie, the chairperson, to just to introduce the presentation and to take us through as to how we're going to receive the presentation. Meanwhile, let me welcome Honorable Khadebe. Though we have introduced ourselves, that is Honorable Sposeso Khadebe, also the member of the committee. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And your team, members of Portfolio Committee, officials of the Department of Higher Education and Training, and thank you for the opportunity to present the report, which covers 2010-2011. This is what you see there. The screen on the screen is a content issue that we'll be covering. I will discuss. I will present the easy stuff, and then I'm going to hand over to Thabo Mashongwane to deal with the rest, the details. If you look at the next slide, Chair, without really boring you with the Act, what the Act says about the NSA, we want to reflect that 2010-2011 was practically a year of managing the implication of function shift. As you know, that there was a shift from the Department of Labor to the Department of Higher Education and Training, as well as concretizing the new system in the Department of Higher Education and Training. Now, the transition from the Department of Labor to the DH meant a new window of opportunities for us in the department to review the skills development system in order to align it to the national priorities of government. But there are also challenges on the ground. The challenges on the ground were that of pooling resources to support the new mandate. Fortunately, the NSA had already undertaken a strategic workshop to engage the minister and the department of the DG with the purpose of realigning the NSA activities. Now, the focus and the result thereof are summarized in the slides that will follow. Now, the NSA, if you look at the next slide, the NSA as an advisory body established to advise the minister on matters relating to skills development. We have been doing a lot of work regarding that. It is a mandate of a board comprising social partners, and there is a secretariat located in the department that support the board. The current NSA was appointed into office a month after the presidential proclamation to establish the Department of Education and Training. This resulted in almost half of the membership being new and had to grapple with the issues related to the transfer of functions, as well as clarifying the NSA role. The HRDDG was tasked to temporarily carry out the activities of the executive officer until the responsibility was transferred to the DDG skills development to take forward also the process of appointing the new CEO, which is underway. The year 2010 was overpacked with urgent skills development activities that were crucial to the establishment of the new post-school landscape. And the succeeding slides will capture some of the key issues that were addressed. So if you just go to the next slides, we just in a very graphical way and a summarized way, show the functions of the NSA. We advise, we report, we liaise with several stakeholders. Now, in terms of advice, we advise the minister on national security development policy, the national security development strategy, which is normally called NSDS. In this case, we put NSDS 3. We also advise the minister in NSDS implementation, guidelines, the NSF funding allocation, strategic framework and criteria, the Skill Development Act regulations, which exclude the QCTO regulations. We report to the minister on the NSDS implementation. So everything that goes with the NSDS implementation, we monitor that, we assess the work of CTAS and so forth and so on, and then we also report to the minister at an advisory level. Right? In terms of liaison, we liaise with CTAS also on national skills development policy, the strategy, and the sector skills plan. The QCTO, we liaise with them on occupational standards and qualifications, the sustainability or suitability and adequacy of occupational standards and qualifications, the quality of learning in and for the workplace, and the NSAEO must be a QCTO board member. But we also consult with the minister, we comment, and we do other, functions in terms of the act. Now, in terms of consultation, we consult the minister on CETA changes, amalgamations, dissolutions, and administration, the CETA service level agreements, regulations, and contents. We also consult on CETA plans and the DG reporting requirements, CETA grants, CETA powers, employee union skills, development rights, NSF administration, operations for provincial skills development forums, the skill development act performance, the skill development levels, levies act and regulations. We comment on the NSF annual financial statement, so we receive the statements and we comment on that. And other functions would include, which are also critical, will include the NSA performing its work, its functions in accordance with the Act and its constitutions, conduct investigation on any matter arising out of the application of the Act, exercise any other powers and perform any other duties conferred to impose on the authority or impose on the authority by the Skill Development Act. Receive from the department information on skills, perform any function of the National Training Board functions. And also the authority has the prescribed powers of entry and to question and inspect in terms of the Act. So that's briefly, that's part of my introduction to the work of the NSA and how it liaise or report or consults on what issues it is consulting and therefore go. So on the next slide, I'm going to give to Thabo Mashongwane just to take the members of the program through, and then I will deal with the last slide. Thabo?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the chairperson already outlined the functions of the NSA, in the financial year in question, the number of policy issues as well as implementation matters that NSA dealt with, among those will be reflected in the slide. But then even before we do so, I must also upfront confess that the annual report of the NSA is incorporated in the annual report of the department, and hence I've just made an extract of a few pages that relates to the work of the NSA. It will be that be distributed. So as we go through, we can as well refer to what has been reported upon. Inclusive to that, it will be obviously the financial component, which is reported under National Skills Development Services, you'll then realize that both NSA and NSF are reported under National Skills Development Services. Part of the work of the NSA in the year 2010-2011 was relating to the NSF work. It was important close to the year, or beginning the year 2010, that the NSA advised the minister after the request from the department to increase the capping for administrative purposes. That would then have allow NSF to be in a better position to execute its duties. And that is in line with the Act. So the capping was then increased from 2% up to 10%. That's not necessarily mean 10%, but it's up to 10%. And also the NSF strategic plan within that period had to be placed before NSA, and NSA then advised the minister as to how to go for that particular period of time on the allocation framework. And there was also a need to expand the advice to expand the lifespan of the CTAS as the lifespan of the CTAS came to expired the close of the year 2009-2010. So there was a need for the NSA to look into such matters and to advise the minister to then extend the lifespan of the CTAS by 1 year. That then allowed a process within the department and also engagement with various social partners and stakeholders within the skills development arena to apply their mind on the new CTAS landscape. And even though the advice to extend was there was a serious concern from the NSA in terms of performance of other CTAS. So the NSA then advised the minister to put under or to subject certain CTAS, about four of them, under administration. The process of consultation also engulfed and included the provincial skills development forums. These are captured within the Act as important role players. Then they then had to be consulted around the issues related to skills development, inclusive to that is the NSGS3. The NSA played a critical role in terms of participating in the Skills Summit in that very year, whereby a number of role players, key role players within the skills development arena participated. And the focus of the Skills Summit then was mainly the focus on the agreement of the minister that there should be some understanding by all role players. And declaration was then the result of the Skills Summit. When coming to the NSDS, as I've already said, there was for the transition period an extension for the NSDS2, but then advice was then, obviously, after extensive public consultation process that included stakeholders, the public in general, written submission, as well as workshops, consultation platforms were created, and that led to the NSA advising the minister on the NSDS3. And the CTAS landscape, as I've already alluded earlier to say, also this involved extensive public consultation process. But over and above these consultation process, the NSA deemed it fit to then convene a public hearing process that took place during the period 2010 and extended for a week, when participants were then allowed to make verbal and oral presentation, and NSA engaged them. After that extensive process, then the NSA advised the minister accordingly, hence the new CTAS landscape that was then announced and endorsed by the minister. During this time, the chairperson has already said there was a need also to have a rethink and relook into the role of the NSA vis-a-vis that of the department, and also to ensure that the NSA is strengthened and capacitated to carry out the mandate of the new department as well as in accordance with the Act. So there was a need to get into a repositioning project where the NSA is looking inwards and say, what is it that we need and how then do we relate with the department to ensure that we execute our mandate. So that project is ongoing. It will then be coming to a close shortly soon, but it started at that time. With regard to legislation and other policies, the NSA reviewed the number of policies to close of 2010, and this relates to the amendment to the Skills Development Act, which was then Skills Development Bill, which is still in process. And it then had to advise the minister on the CETA regulations that would then give effect to the change landscape of the CETAs. So there are a number of regulations that the NSA advised the minister on. And among those, it will obviously be the conditions of appointment for CETA CEOs and so forth. But then chief of that was the CETA constitution, which was very important in terms of enforcing proper corporate governance. Then the NSA also noticed that there is a need, and also, like it says, one of the functions is to consult. So in other words, it's a two-way process. The minister can then request the NSA consult with the NSA on a number of issues, or the NSA itself consult with the minister. So there was a need to look into the scope creep issues. Now, this is an investigative function, as the chairperson alluded to. Scope creep by services CETA, where services CETA was offering programs that were beyond their scope, but then obviously entered into agreement with PCETA to do so. But in the course of the offering of those programs, it was then noticed that there were a number of discrepancies, and it was important for the NSA to then investigate those such matters. A preliminary report has been presented to the NSA, and we are still waiting for a final report on that matter. Then the CHIETA, the second investigation was on the CHIETA. There was alleged mismanagement of funds, issues related to governance as well as management in the CHIETA CETA. So it was important for the NSA then to look into that matter, which then led to the release or the dismissal of the CHIETA CEO. However, the NSA realized that it does not suffice just to get rid of the CEO. There could be underlying factors and root causes. So it then engaged also the CHIETA, the new chairperson of the CHIETA, as well as the board. So the investigation is ongoing. It will also be concluded very soon. With regard to the budget, the finances primarily speaks to the operational and administrative areas, activities of the NSA, which is basically the support wing to the NSA. These are merely for logistical purposes, as well as meetings, venues, and so forth. So as members can see on page 6, that is slide 11, the compensation is not necessarily within our ambit. It's an HR matter. It's compensation for about 7 people who are servicing the NSA. As their goods and services, that's where the focus is, and we have expanded on this issue almost more than 95%, that 1.366. The rest of other rows that are like having simply dashes or empty, these are critical areas that the NSA has identified and has to perform against for it to perform its activities, execute its activities well. But then what then happens is we request funding from NSF as and when required. We at the moment, once the NSF colleagues will then be presenting, you will then notice that there will be some allocation to NSA. It's something which is still in the pipeline, but for now we request funds as and when required, just like the most recent skills conference where we're requesting funds from NSF. So NSF is then accountable in terms of the reporting on that. There are 5 key areas that is going forward that the NSA has identified for the next 5 years to, in line with the priorities of government and NSDS3 and all other national priorities. Now, NSA identified 5 key areas. Probably the chairperson could also emphasize on those 5 key areas that we'll then be focusing upon. Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not sure whether you can start there on the 5 key areas.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. If I can just finalize the 2 slides, the first being the 5 key areas for advice 2011-2012. The review of skill development legislative framework to support the integration of education and training and the national priorities of government, including the NSA framework. This is also a key area for the NSA to advise the minister, and I've already started to do so. And then the second one being development framework, or develop a framework on the mobilization of business, government, community, and labor to take full ownership of the NSDS3. And even the skills conference was usually or mainly also focusing on that, because we have to advocate the NSDS3 so that it's well widely known, and people must begin to ask questions, people who would preferably be impacted upon by the NSDS3 should be able to ask questions, how should they benefit from that. So it's a role of the NSA to assist the minister and support the department to advocate for this NSDS3. The post-school education and training and that encourages society to support and build a developmental state. We as part of advising the minister in discussions about this matter, is what type of post-skill system do you want to see? Because as you know, as part of advice, the minister has started to say a lot around the synergies in your post-school system, your universities, your FET colleges, your CETAs, and other private service providers. How do they work together to ensure that the skill development or revolution in the country is rolled out in a massive way that will impact on the lives of the ordinary people? The strengthening and monitoring and evaluation function, particularly the NSDS3 performance and governance. So the focus in terms of the CETAs, how do we assist CETAs? How do we assess CETAs? How do we make sure that the CETAs deliver on the NSDS3 and the issues of governance as well as performance? So I think, as you know, that the minister started to engage on other areas of governance, but we have governance because the reviewing of the of the CETAs governance structure was mainly to ensure that there's effectiveness on how the CETAs deliver. The research, development, and innovation to promote beneficiation and business and enterprise development opportunities. And I think Tawo earlier on said about the reviewing of the NSA itself is intended to maximize the NS function, and so that it is able to advise the minister on issues of research, on issues that have been researched properly. So if the NSA is properly capacitated, it will have the capacity to even do research, because when you have to advise the minister or even investigate how the CETAs are functioning, you will have to, you know, investigate, do some research, proper research, so that are able to have qualitative information that can be used to advise the minister. So those are the key areas that we're advising the minister on, and we'll be advising the minister on some of them ongoing. Now, my last slide, which is on page 7, we're talking here about identifying the role of the NSA versus that of the skills branch in the department. It's important for us to continue engaging on these topics. I know that when I was here last year, about 2-3 weeks after being appointed as chairperson of the NSA, we did a presentation to the Protocol Committee, and there were critical questions being asked about the NSA, you know, how it advised the minister, the quality of advice to the minister, and so on and so on. And hence the process of reviewing the NSA itself including the repositioning of the NSA so that it gets capacity. Now, these are the questions that we normally ask, and it's important for us to ask. But I must say that one of the things that we did in the skills conference last month was to develop a questionnaire to the participants on how they view the role of the NSA as well as the CTAS. And we had four questions. The first question was, do you know the NSA and its role? And 86% of the delegates said they knew the role, the NSA and its role. And we were quite happy because we were worried that probably the public out there do not know what the NSA is, what it's doing. And 10% were not sure about the role of the NSA, and 4% did not know about the NSA and its role. Right, so it is our duty as the NSA to go out and get out this 10% and the 14%, who are they and what more do they need to know about the NSA. Secondly, we asked them a question, how would you rate the services provided by the NSA? 9% said excellent, 52% say the NSA, you know, they rate the NSA fair, and then 6%, sorry, 33% was saying good, and 6% was saying poor. So we will go out there and check this poor, what is it that the NSA should do more. The third question was, do you know CTAS and their role? 96% knew about the CTAS and their roles, 2% were not sure, and 2% were clueless. They did not know, right? Now, the last question was, how would you rate services provided by the CTAS? 6% said excellent, 52% said fair, 31% said good, and 11% said poor. Now, as part of reviewing, as part of this repositioning of the NSA, it's critical for us to go out and assess ourselves or even evaluate ourselves. And we're quite happy that most people knew the NSA. We're quite happy that some people rated the NSA even better than the CTAS, you know. And you know, so which is also a work for us. It's a task for us to then go out and say, what is wrong with the CTAS and how can we advise the minister on the function of the CTAS? Madam Chair, I would like to stop there, and that concludes our presentation. Thank you.
Chairperson, before you stop, if you can just give us an idea, where did you go and do that survey? Just to give us an idea, because I think we can even propose so many places that you can. But I'm just interested, really, where did you go to?
Look, Madam Chair, during the skills conference, when the NSA was preparing for the skills conference, we said, how sure are we that people know the NSA and its function? So that they also advise us, because the result will tell us where to improve for the NSA. You know, and then we developed a questionnaire. And during the skills conference, the questionnaire was given to the participant, and they filled the questionnaire, and it was analyzed immediately. It was presented there. Thank you.
No, thank you very much for that. But also, before I give it to the members, Chair, can you finalize this? You are the advisory board most of the time, and you have just talked of the capacity. You wish to get more capacity to do what you are expected to do, as we have tabulated them. But can you tell us, just give us a picture, what's the situation now with NSA? What capacity is there right now? Just give us, you know, can you hear the picture and tell us what is it that you envisage? What's the picture that you want as an NSA to be? What advice can you give to the minister is to say, Minister, this is what we want NSA to be so that we can be in a position to carry out our duties? It's one of the challenges, I know. Can you expand more on that challenge so that we have a clear picture as who are we talking to right now?
Look, one of the requirements of the Act is that the NSA can investigate anything. Now, investigation would mean some kind of capacity. It will mean some kind of research as well that you need. Now, we have identified a research capacity as one key, because when you advise the minister, you can't just thumbsuck. You will need to have qualitative information that will help the minister, right? But let me just indicate that I think for the first time since the NSA was established, was it 1998 or thereafter, after the Act, the NSA never had a CEO. The NSA, you can imagine, it's like having, I might be giving improper comparisons, but I think it's relevant. It's like having your Department of Higher Education and Training without a DG. Right? Because the EO, the CEO, should be the engine, must be working with relevant, or the chairperson must give strategic direction of the NSA. Right? Now, you can imagine when we did not have that, for us as an NSA, that's a very key capacity of the NSA to make the NSA function properly. And there are a number of the requirements of the NSA, for example, to advise the minister on the implementation of the policy and the NSCS3. That itself, you need to do a serious assessment analysis of each CETA, be that how they on what are they spending the money. I think we all know that the CETAs had billions of rands, right? But as to how they were spending this, it's a question that has been asked all over, over and over again. But the NSA did not have a capacity to do this work properly. Now, in most of the time, you will have to rely on the department. And I raised this issue in the workshop last, a few months ago, August, on the 18th of August, to say the moment, because the minister is so explicit, he's saying, I want the NSA that gives me an independent advice, right, which is not influenced by the department officials, independent, because he also wants to have, his officials can give him their own views, but he also needs to have independent advice so that he can make his mind, apply his mind on both. Now you can imagine when you're going to, as an NSA, you're going to depend 100% on the department, the minister is not going to get independent advice. Not going to get that. So for us to give that independent advice, we need the capacity to investigate, to analyze in a form of a research, so that we are able to then give that. So the picture that we are giving here, Madam Chair, is the NSA that is able to go out and give, and say, and pull out information and analyze it and say, Minister, this is what we see. It's up to you to do your own work now. Right. So that's the picture that we want. Independent advice that is coming from the NSA with a full investigation capacity and not a thumbsucking advice of the minister. Because if you don't do that, you're going to have a problem where the NSA is becoming irrelevant, because the department will have people who advise the minister on certain things that the NSA should be advising the minister on. Now the NSA become relevant. Now we're saying the capacity will make the NSA, and I've agreed with the minister, by the way, on that workshop of the 18th of August, first the minister saying he believes the NSA is much more relevant, and we should then make a proposal as an NSA in terms of the budget of the NSA itself. You know, how should we then, because that's something that we're engaging with the minister, engaging on. And the minister did not show any objection to that. He's actually in favor of seeing the capacity of the NSA.
Thank you very much, Chair. Can I give this opportunity to members to question, to for open for discussion, questioning, and comments? Can I see the... Yes. I'll start with Honorable Makubela, Honorable Bonjana, Honorable Fan Hazen, Honorable Moni, Honorable Khadebe. In that order, please.
Thanks, Chair. Have two questions. The first will be a follow-up to the response I have given and the slide at the, which indicates quite a lot of areas wherein you've got challenges and how you needed to be capacitated perhaps to address those. To me, we must go beyond lamentation. You know, it's fine to raise them, there is this, there is that, and so on, but we need some way forward. And this does not present any way forward, it's just somewhat highlighting your situation. And in as much as we may sympathize with your situation, we'll be far much happier to understand where do you want to go. That does not always translate into some solution. So that solution must be worked out. It would be something if you had come here to say to us, we think if we are modeled this way, then we could be capacitated enough to do that. Even if it's not a one-way kind of, or the only option, you could say there are the following options in which if we structured like that, we think we'll be better capacitated to handle our situation. So, Chair, I think to me, there's homework that you should be able to do and come back to us or to whoever in authority and say, this is what we think, and see if people cannot accede to that. The second would be related to how you're being funded now, because that to me as well caused some problems. You saying there's a proposal of how NSF will be budgeting in future, as you're proposing an annual allocation and so on, so that you know what to do. But for now, I think it causes a problem to rely on funds that are not guaranteed or they are dependent on situations. So it's a bit of a problem. Perhaps you may take us through how, for now, you think this situation is sorted out. Because the financial year we're referring to, it may be something else. But from now going forward, are we assured that you will be able to run in terms of whatever you wanted to do? Not that you will have sufficient funds. I'm not arguing for the money is never sufficient in the country. So, but the kind of funding model, is it one that will take us forward, unlike what happened in the previous financial year?
Thank you, Chairperson, and I thank you for the presentation. First, I want just to point out that I've always struggled to understand the whole question of skills development.
Excuse me, Honorable Bojan. That is why, Chair, I asked where exactly did you take that questionnaire to, because I knew that we have got members like Bojan that are signing that.
Okay. Now, I've been looking at the range of advice that you have given to the minister, and comparing this with the outcry out there, there are no skills. Yet, on the other side, high rate of unemployment. Now, how do you compare, in your advice, capacity, how do you connect these two? You want to produce skills on this side, yet there is this unemployment. Produce skills for what? And also, perhaps one would have liked to see concrete proposals that, okay, Minister, you need to produce, or the sitters need to produce 100 plumbers, 200 engineers for these specific jobs. Are you able to do that in your advisory capacity, or is it beyond your mandate, or is just me trying to think of something that cannot be done? Especially, you know, we come from rural areas. Every day we meet young people, and also some who have got some sort of skills, but going around the streets, why then should you insist on producing skills, where there is this rate of unemployment? Thank you.
you, Chairperson. I've got three questions to the Chair of the National Skills Authority. Thank you very much for your presentation here this morning. I think, well, I have learned a number of things. Can I just ask, the first thing is, the National Skills Authority, to my mind, should be a body bringing together a number of labour market experts, being able to identify what skills are needed in South Africa. Now, when I look at the list of members of the National Skills Authority, I see there's quite a large representation of state officials, government officials, and there is the fear that I have that these officials will only be saying what they know the minister, because you're supposed to advise the minister, would like to hear. So that, you know, your advice is contaminated by the fact that, you know, we're working in a circle. They know what the minister would like to hear, so the National Skills Authority gives advice that the minister would like to hear, and so the vicious circle is completed. Do you agree that there's an overrepresentation of government officials? Do you believe that we should strengthen the National Skills Authority with more independent people? The minister has also said here that it seems to me, if I understand the minister correctly, that he would like more of a distance between the National Skills Authority and the department, so that the Skills Authority would be more autonomous in terms of its functioning and advice. Do you also see that as a problem at the moment? The next question is, one of your major points that you've raised here this morning as well, and it's also stated in the Act, is that you must give advice regarding the strategic plan of the National Skills Fund. Now, later this morning, we will be listening to the representative of the National Skills Fund, but the Auditor General has already come out very sharply and saying, but, you know, the indicators of the National Skills Fund, the Skills Fund is not, they're not measurable, etc., and the Auditor General is very unhappy with the way in which those strategic objectives have been stated. Now, my question, and it's a, I don't know if the English word vexed question is correct, but is it you that gives bad advice, or is the minister not listening to you? Why is the Auditor General unhappy with the strategic plan of the National Skills Fund from your objective? And lastly, you have taken a point and you have advised that the administrative portion of the National Skills Fund, the money that's available to use for the administration of the fund, should increase from 2% to 10%. Now, taking into account that that fund is currently standing at more than 6.9 billion rand, do you really believe that the fund would warrant such an expensive administrative system, taking into account that the fund is only supposed to be a conduit to fund other initiatives? 680 million rand, and remember, that's the money that's currently in the fund. If you look at the money flowing through the fund, obviously much more must have been raised in the last 13 years since the fund was established. How scientific was that figure of 10% determined? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My understanding is that the minister is advised on skills development issues. Is there any advice with regard to placement after skilling? My second question is, in the budget estimates, I see billions of rands. Are they for purposes of advice? And lastly, I've seen something relating to the promotion of beneficiation. What is meant by that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Well, Honorable Khadebe, let me welcome the chairperson of the committee. Chair, we've tabled your apology. At least we can see the smile from the person that you have said he's not well, but I think he's getting there. We are happy to see you, Chair. Very shortly, I'll be requesting you to come forward, but let me finish with the session. Yes, Honorable Adem.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, probably didn't get it clearly from the chairperson of the NSA that as they report to the minister in terms of their hierarchy, what are the terms of reference in terms of your reporting? If you can be able to get the terms of reference and probably time frame as well, how many times do you report to the minister? At last, Chair, there's been some discussions around in the social network where we meet, where we decided that probably that's where we must hold our conferences, because these conferences that are organized by government waste a lot of money, while they organize sleeping in the hotels, others, you know, not being able also to gain the knowledge that they needed to gain. So we decided to open our own, you know, conference in the social network, where we had an engagement to say, does real government going to hold these conferences and seminars, summits, up until when? Because the view that is being raised that if a summit, initial summit is organized, an amount of about plus minus 4 million rand will be spent in just, you know, the whole function. And engagements, probably with the resolutions, nice, formidable resolutions that are going to be taken. But the ultimate goal is that implementation becomes, you know, something that not going to be seen. What is the strategy that the NSA has of ensuring that it spread its visibility and ensuring that skills development becomes reality in South Africa, either than holding these conferences that a lot of money has been spent there? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Khadim.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure if my question has been asked. I have to go out just for a minute or two. Chairperson, mine would be, when last has a skills audit been done in the country? We hear that there's a shortage of skills in the country. At one stage, there was a document that indicated in the various sectors what the shortage is. But when last was that done, and based on what? And then my second one would be, Chairperson, what is the NSA advising around the issue of experiential learning? FETs don't have a problem because they do their training there. But university students who come from the university or universities of technology, often these students are finished with their theory, and they don't have places to go and do the experiential learning, which is causing a problem because either they've studied on NSFAS loans, or parents have paid for their studies. They can't get experiential learning, so they cannot get out there into the market, so they cannot repay their loan, or it's wasted money that their parents have paid because they can't get that 12 months experiential learning. And this has been a problem since it goes on year after year after year. So what is the NSA advising around this? I'll leave it there. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, members, for
the questions. Can we briefly get to the responses? Yeah, I think we are still within time.
I think, Madam Chair, obviously, I'm having a team here. they will handle some of the difficult questions. I'm taking the easy ones. But I'll try my best to answer most of the questions here. Look, the first speaker, or Mr. Makubela, made a suggestion that we should go beyond lamenting and we must come up with clear proposals. We agree with that comment. In fact, the repositioning of the NSA, there was a workshop that was held in 2009, November 2009, after the responsibility of skill development was shifted to the Higher Education and Training Department. And in that workshop, the result, I was not yet a chairperson then. I became a chairperson in the next February. It was last year. That workshop, the documented discussions, gave a picture of the NSA that is a board without a soul. Right, that was it said then. And then when we met, the first workshop that we had in February, when I was in my first meeting, we had discussions. The first thing was to say, we must turn this around. The NSA cannot be a body without a soul, because then you don't have the basis of the principle, or you don't have a principle basis of existence if you don't have a soul. Right. Hence, we then said we need to discuss, we need to begin to come with a new proposal of repositioning the NSA. Now, the question of repositioning the NSA, we had to ask this question as the NSA. We had to say, do you want to do something that is beyond the Act, or we just need to function better in terms of the Act? Because if you want to put yourself beyond the Act, then it means you must make new proposal in the Act itself to be amended. Otherwise, you are out of order, because you will be operating outside the Act. That is clear about what the NSA should be doing. Then we said perhaps there's a gap between what we are doing and what the Act requires the NSA to do, and then the repositioning focused much more on that. Because, for example, when it talks about investigation, then you need to say, how do you investigate? What tools do you need to investigate? And so forth and so on. And work on that, right? And so forth and so forth. But I think that discussion, Honorable Member, we have engaged the department. We have presented the position document to the NSA. The minister. Although the minister said, let's first have that workshop first, which we had last, you know, in August. And then from there, the issue of funding model, for example, came up and say, let the NSA make a proposal. And I think we agree with you to say, we need to make a clear proposal on the funding model, because, of course, you can't rely on unsustainable funding model, because then your advice to the minister also become unsustainable. So we are working on that. And, of course, yes, we agree there's a homework for the NSA. In fact, we agree that we should come back, we should find space to come back and present that kind of a clear model to the popular committee. Then we could be advised to say, you know, what about that? What about that? I think there's nothing wrong with that. Today's meeting, we did not actually see that as presenting that proposal, because it is there. Right? It is there. It is more about what, you know, the challenge that we are having. We do not actually intend to complain, Honourable Member, but just to reflect. But we can make that proposal available, and we can engage on that proposal. So we are open for engagement on that one. Now, the second issue, or the second question, and I hope I've covered the Honourable Minister, a member there. The next question was coming from Obama, to say, well, struggles to understand the issue of skill development, and hence the NSA is there. And I'm not saying you are just making a comment. I'm not saying you are saying you are blank. I'm not saying that. I think you are making a statement to say, you know. But the issue here was more about how do we advise the minister when there is this loud outcry about unemployment and so forth and so on. Last year when we were here, actually members also asked this question. When you don't have engineers in your municipalities, you don't have people who can do the following thing. When your municipalities are collapsing, how do we deal with such things? Right. And we take that, we took that into account, very much into account. And that is why most of the things, the questions here, Honorable Chair, we would like the members to really spend time, and maybe when we engage next time, spend time reading the NSD S3 and understand it. Because some of the things are there, are captured there in the NSD S3. If you look at it, right, we avoided saying the minister put the targets, but what we did was key principles that deals with some kind of responses there, right? But the issue, Baba, let me give an example. Last year, the NSA went to a workshop. Baba? Bonjani. Bonjani. Oh. Baba Bonjani, sorry. Mr. Honorable Mr. Bonjani. Yeah. We said as an NSA, what are the critical issues that the government is looking at, the priority of the government? And we singled out, for example, rural development. You have touched the issue of rural development. And we called out the people from the Dutch government to come and make a presentation to us to say what are the challenges in terms of rural development, right? Which include agriculture and so on and so on. And then we took that presentation. We put it in some of the areas. The five key areas that you are seeing there did not necessarily include the rural development, but it's part of it. It's part of that, right? To advise the minister on it. Because we are saying, strategically as a country, you are going to have problems of crime, especially in your cities, because people, everybody will come to Johannesburg, to Cape Town, and so forth and so on. When you can develop skills in the rural areas, but also ensure that those skills could find space to be applied there. Because if people who develop skills, it goes to your question of skills for what? If you develop skills but don't create space for those skills to be applied there, people will move to a place where their skills could be in demand and be applied. So that issue is getting a priority. But also, maybe touches on, I'm going to respond this question to others because there was an issue about the issue of placement, for example, which is part of enhancing employment. If you look at NSD S3, it talks about that as well, because you are forcing sitters and employers to begin to give space for young people for workplace experience, training, and those kind of things, but also placement. Because if you've got people who have attended, who have got their qualification, but they're not able to get space to get experiential training, that itself is not enhancing job creation or job opportunities, because these people are not, the qualification could not get further because they need some kind of placement and so forth and so on, so they can gain experiential training. The issue of artisans, as part of rolling out the training, including your scarcity skills, your scarce skills, and so forth and so on. I mean, there's a target of artisans. I think it was about 50,000 in five years, 30,000, right? Artisans, and this is part of the advice that we've given to the minister, and this is what has been also, if you have followed the skills accord. That the minister signed with social partners or stakeholders is trying to address the issues of skills shortages in the country, right? Which is also going to take even further. I mean, the skills conference recently has highlighted the need to recognize the prior learning so that you are able not only to enhance job opportunities but also to increase the skills level. The second issue is about coming there from honorable member. I missed the name, sorry, I'm not going to mention the name. Sorry?
It's Van der Westhuizen.
Van der Westhuizen.
You are excused because it's a very long surname.
No, I'm a South African, I'm used to that. Father of Estation. Look, some questions I'll treat them as suggestions and proposals. You know. In the NSA, the composition of the NSA has got, you've got constituency based NSA in the main. You will have labor, you will have business, you have communities, and then we have providers, yes. And you will also have a mixture of university people there, representing universities and so on and so on. Right. People who are experts in their own field and their own right. But I don't think that we're opposed to a view if you have to target certain experts in the labor market and so on and so on. I take that as a suggestion that could be looked at. I have not necessarily analyzed each and every member from the NSA to say expert in labor market and so on and so on. But this is it's an indirect suggestion that we are open to look at. The large number of government officials, I'm not sure that that's the case in the NSA, other than to have support staff. People who are supporting, because some of that advice, remember our role is also to advise the minister on the implementation of the NSDS. Now we advise the minister, we're not doing it, we're not implementing it. We advise the minister, the department has got a role to also ensure the implementation. Now our role will be just to assess, to analyze and say implementation is not taking place, and how do we advise the minister to ensure that it's taking place. So the role of the government officials is more about administrative of the implementation of the policies and so on and so on. Right. Strengthening the NSA with more independent mind people and so on and so on, I think the relates to this question, but as a principle, I am fine with it. And I think the NSA should be fine with it. Because the issue here is that you want to have people who understand the content of the issues that they are advising the minister on, but secondly, who got broadly independent thinking, so that people are not confined by certain things. They must be able to call it a spade a spade. For example, during the CETA landscape and the review of the constitution of the CETAs, there were hot debates there. I mean, even when the services CETA took the minister to court, there were hot debates there. We were blind as well as NSA. We said to the minister, these are the things that you must do. These are the things that you must not do. You need that kind of independence, because if you don't do that, the government will be in trouble. So the issue of independence, we agree as a principle, right? But remember also, you also want to have people in the NSA who've got passion, not only understanding, knowledge, but also have passion. Because it's one thing to have the minister who's got such a passion about skill development, and it's another thing to have NSA people who doesn't have that passion. You know, and we need to really make sure that we've got this balance. The issue of advising the minister of strategic allocation of fund, I mean, last year when we were here, I think the total amount was about 4 billion when we were here last year. When we're here, and I think it probably might have increased and so on and so on. We look, the issue of advice the minister on allocation, right? We can't claim we have badly advised the minister on allocation, right? And when we looked at it, I'm not sure whether the Preflow Committee had a chance, Madam Chair, to look at the framework, because I think, I'm not sure whether it will be presented later today. I think you will look at that, because if you look at that framework, it's trying to address a number of issues that you are talking about, that you know, and that's also advice from the NSA to the minister. And I think maybe I need to leave that there, and then maybe we can then ask that question, we can take that question forward when the NSF framework is presented, right? And I'm not going to again, in line with that, let me not comment on the Auditor General's comment. Maybe let's leave it for that. We can then come back to it if you don't mind, Honorable Member. concerned. I want to leave it there, but I want to give a key principle thing is that it's like in education. I'm giving an example. You must not regret spending much more in your input in education because the output might be long-term, sustainable, and so on and so on. So the point I'm trying to make here is that if you've got administration that's so poor, and yet, because people were complaining about the NSF itself to say, what are the blockages? Why don't you unblock these old things? So that because projects are not being implemented, nothing is happening, but it's got sitting with billions. And our view was that 5 to 10% was also partly trying to address issues of opening up the system so that the systems are properly functioning. Right? You open up the blockages, and there's a clear flow of expenditure and clear advice on proposal on the project and so on and so on. Now, for me, that investment, or well, sorry, that usage of 10%, that capping of 10%, for me, it was not a useless exercise. It was an exercise that's trying to address the system so that it opens up and become effective in implementing the project. Right. Honorable Member Crosby, the issue of placement, I think I did cover it as part of the NSDS3. Is there in the NSDS3 the CETAs and the employers, especially the issue of Accord and the NSDS3, it captures that because the minister, we have asked the minister, talk to the employers, let them open up their workplaces because that's where the problem is. Open up their workplaces because the issue of workplaces is also partly aligned to transformation. Now, if you don't transform at the workplaces, those workplaces are not open up for people to get to practice their theories and so on and so on as part of placement. Because if you can do placement, people begin to get into the system placement. Many of the people become entrepreneurs because they then top up what they have and become entrepreneurs on their own rights. And therefore, they come out becoming job creators rather than job seekers. So we think the NSA captures that much more in details. Right. The issue of beyond race, are they used for advice or are they used for what? Our understanding, you're talking about the NSF billion rents. Those are for the projects that are that would be approved, and the money will be spent there. Unless I did not understand your question, but the NSF does not have billion rents. The billion rents are in the NSF, and those are for the projects that will be. And I think Mr. Makudama is going to touch on that when he presents. The issue of beneficiations. This is what we have not necessarily went into details. It's an area for advice to the minister. Now, our role is to begin to then bring in all the stakeholders to understand what they are doing around beneficiation, so that when we advise the minister, we advise the minister on the skills to beneficiate. It's more about skills, not necessarily the processing of beneficiation of minerals, much more about the skills required in the processing minerals resources. My last comments, and I'll leave others to the last comment, is Mr. Hadebe, the issue of terms of reference for reporting. I'm not sure that I understand that question, but we report to the minister. What we do as the NSA, we identify there are two ways. The minister come to us and say, I'm consulting with you on the following issues, and I need your advice. Then we do our work as the NSA. Then we give feedback to the minister, as and when the minister requires that. But the other one is our normal function as the NSA, as per the Act, doing some kind of investigation at our level, identify some challenges, then advise the minister as and when. Our idea, our request was to meet monthly, to give minister monthly. But we understood, and in our meeting we said it is probably not possible to meet on monthly basis, looking at the minister's schedule as well as others. So it is much more when as and when required. You know, most of the work that we are doing, we look at the volume of the work that we have done, and then we then say, we think it's time now to advise the minister, but also take into account other things that are happening outside the NSA, because there are those things that are happening which, if we don't advise the minister, they may overtake the minister. So we have to advise the minister even before things come to his table, so that we are able to preempt some of the things that will be coming to the minister. Well, the social network, I'm not sure whether they are illegal or they are legal, but the comment that I made there. But in the last skills conference, Mr. Adebe, we said, and we agreed, all of us, last month, we said, let the next conferences tell us about what happens in the previous conference. What was the resolution then, and how far? Because you might, if you don't do that, you run the risk of repeating the same thing over and over again. Right? Talking about this, the next time we talk about this, because there might probably be new people, and a new day, a new year, people might have forgotten about what you said last time, you say the same thing in a new term, and then people, you're recycling the same thing. What is going to happen now is that in the next conference next year, and we hope some of you would be there, is to say, since we have met this year, what has been done, and who was supposed to do what, and has that person or those people done what they're supposed to be doing, so that you move forward. Otherwise, you are just going around. But I'm not going to speak on behalf of the ministers, because some of the conferences are done by the ministers. We can only advise them. And one of the advice that we are giving them, we're going to give the minister, our minister now, is to say, every conference that we have next time, it must be informed about what was said about in the last conference, so that you don't repeat the same thing. What you need to do is just give progress report and not say the same thing in a different language. The issue of the visibility of the NSA is part of the repositioning, and I know that there's a discussion document that we have produced about communication strategy, how we go out there and assist people to understand what are there for them. Because sometimes, I mean, especially in the rural areas and in your township, the government has created so many opportunities for young people and for women, and those young people and women do not know those things. They don't know them, and it's the role of the NSA to advise the department, and where possible also the NSA to go there and be visible, to say, these are the things that you have, these are the things that you must utilize, and so on and so on. There's a booklet that we need to build on, which has been given to you, a small booklet, it's colored, it's sort of in is it purple or red, yeah, that brochure, right. We need to build on that booklet, because we need to go further and say, how should people know the role of the CTAs and so on and so on. Because if you don't do that, Mrs. Ramasela and Rai Sive in Limpopo, or who's Vanbani in Eastern Cape, in Guyana, and so on and so on, would not know these things that are so mainly intended for them. So it will only be those who are close to them who will know them. And you can imagine, if your high percentage of people do not know the benefits that are intended for them, then it means the emancipation of such people is prolonged. The issue of skills audit is a very good question. Thabo will answer to that. I know that the document that was done, I think it was 2008, which I've seen, which shows areas where skills are insurances, but that was more about skills, scarce skills. Now, in terms of skills audit, I don't know. All I know is that there are one or two or three companies that are doing that individually. So I would safely say, and I think I will subject for correction, that we don't have a well-coordinated skills audit that is driven nationally, but also that it has got clear objectives, right? The outcome that are clearly outlined and so on and so on. But I think the department will touch on that, and I think it's a good point, because that's what we need to push. And I know it was in the first draft of the NSA, or NSA 3. What we're talking about, it was in the first draft of the NSA 3. But as you know, sometimes in terms of engagement, some of the things fall by the wayside. But I think the good point that we're raising, which we have to look at. Let me stop there, Madam Chair, and then the members can add on where I have left.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Director, I think one of the luckiest directors to have a Chairperson who can cover you so much. But let us shortly give this opportunity to you, Director, to cover the rest of the questions so that we don't get into the time of the NSF, because by now we must be beginning with the NSF.
Thank you very much, Chair. Indeed, the Chairperson is quite knowledgeable. He touched quite a number of things. Just to emphasize one or two issues, one of the composition of the NSA in that probably the government is overrepresented. He clearly captured it is stipulated constituency numbers, base numbers. It's five state, and even as we speak, we still run short of about three members of state. So some of the government departments still have to submit the nominees. What we have is then skills experts, two of them from the department, not necessarily members, but just to come and advise. And then maybe what you can also deem as state could be representation from university, representation from public FET institutions. You have private providers as well as the last one, then the ABET. Now, given that they're coming from state, it looks like they all represent state, but what we recognize as state is these five representatives as agreed by NEDLAC. So this, we make sure that there's no over-representation of government. The other important issue is the clarity on the capping of the NSF for administrative purposes. There is a principle used, and the NSA was quite clear. It's not based on the reserve funds, the surplus, but on the annual allocation. So that percentage has a particular principle. So it was not necessarily saying the entire amount that is there, we're gunning for it. It was probably the colleague in the NSF will further clarify that, but it's on annual levies of the NSF. And what we also have in the composition of the NSA, you have other experts such as employment services. You have the public as well as the private, and that will go in low end to ensure so that there is placement opportunities. Those are people who would come and assist with placement opportunities for the learners. Most of the issues are contained, already incorporated in the NSDS3, because the whole idea is not to advise the minister on bits and pieces, but strategically, so what are the main key drivers for skills development? So those are contained, and they are also identified as challenges and the purpose why we have skills development. I mean, it talks to high rate of unemployment that must then be addressed. It talks to issues of basic skills that we then have to upskills of people. So a number of issues, like the chair said, are already covered, and that's why we want to focus on NSDS3, which then gives guidance also to how NSF funds are going to be utilized in a strategic and focused manner. And as for the terms of reference reporting, you would realize that in terms of the functions of NSA, reporting is only done on NSDS implementation. Now, the way NSA is structured, it has subcommittees, so the work happens, it has about four subcommittees. Now, each subcommittee has specific focus areas in terms of references to exactly where should they be focusing on. Now, we have one of the committees called CETA Implementation Committee. It looks into the financials and performance of CETAs on a quarterly basis. And then once it applies its minds and engages the relevant government department on that particular matter, and where a discrepancy is found, it then advises the department first before it can even escalate any issue. And once the department is on top of that particular issue, then the NSA is okay. But unless there's a problem, that's when it can then be escalated up to the minister's level to say, we need to be looking at this particular matter. I mean, an example there could then be the tendency of CETAs outsourcing their auditing and financial. It said that why are we not really engaging? Because we want to decrease unemployment in the country, and why go that route as we engage in the department on such issues. So we are not necessarily looking at the quantity kind of approach, but we send the quality in the focus areas and areas of need as and when we advise the minister. That will also then the issues related to the conference, we also are quite careful, and fortunately I also have a DDG seated in here who's very strict in terms of, and also the CFO with regard to the use of finances. So we are really putting down, if comparatively speaking, in the previous life in the Department of Labor, maybe the costs were quite high, but as we speak, that we are really containing those costs and ensuring that there should be quality out of every conference that we are holding. The chairperson has already alluded to the outcomes and how we are going to ensure implementation of those. And lastly, Madam Chair, with regard to the skills audit, he also already said the last skills audit was done around 2007, and that still have to stand for an update, and given the transitional issues, I mean, those are the things that we are trying to tie together. One of the most important goals in the NSDS3 talks to that particular element to say we need to establish a credible institutional mechanism that will then ensure that there is a valid and credible information coming through from all stakeholders and role players, so we are able at the press of a button to then indicate the kinds of steps that are useful for implementation in the skills development arena. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the responses and also for the whole presentation. Though we're still awaiting then the update that you promised us more especially on the progress, the structure that you want to see NSA being like, and that is what, yeah, that is the presentation that we are very much looking forward to, because I don't think next year we are waiting a report where you say still you are not yet capacitated, and I think the point that you have raised up is to say you don't want to come up with the advice, some of them that you have just thumbs up, meaning that what you have done now, yes, you have put all your efforts, but you yourself are not yet satisfied as to say this is what we are supposed to do, you know. So next year, really, after we have put this place in place, we hope we are going to get the very good report. But acknowledging that this is your first annual report, really, we would like to thank you very much for the work that you have done and the very important work that you are doing, more especially around the sitters. You know that all the eyes are on the sitters. We want to see them functioning. We know the monies that are injected there, and we know the role that they must play in the country. So really, we wish you all the best of luck. Next year, we are going to get you another level of the report. Thank you very much. We'll now go to the NSF. Besides that, the chairperson of the committee is around. Chairperson, can you come up to your place, please, because I have to take care of the questioning in the afternoon, the minister, the things that the minister is looking for, so I have to go and attend to that one. But let us welcome the chairperson. Being sick as you are, Chair, but wow. Thanks.
Chairperson, I'll ask the Chief Director for National Skills Fund to do the presentation, just to remind us that the focus is on the previous financial year, the reporting thereof. We do have some challenges. In fact, I think for the record, Chairperson, let me also state that the previous Chairperson had indicated that there will be reporting sector of NSA, which would be different from the current one, and taking the issues to the higher level. I would like to caution all of us with regard to that expectation, because part of the challenge with respect to NSA and NSF is their identity and location in the Department of Higher Education and Training. There is a green paper process underway, and when we engage with the green paper, we should bear in mind the challenges and the issues that were raised with respect to the NSA in particular and its identity. So I'll hand over to NSF to do a presentation for us. Thanks. And Joe, the Chief Director will deal with the content-related issues, and then we'll ask the CFO to deal with the financial matters thereafter immediately.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The presentation on the annual report of the National Skills Fund is as follows. Going to the content, we look at the background information on the annual report, the performance on the predetermined objectives, the Auditor General's report that the CFO will assist in, the financial statements, and then the NSF funding framework. On the background, the department, as we all know, was established during the macro-organizational processes of the national government in 2009-2010. The department became independent operational with effect from the 1st of April of 2010. Therefore, the 2010-2011 financial year was the first reporting period of this new department. And the year in the main was characterized by transitional processes that were taking place within the department. The NSA has made reference to a number of these transitions, which include the NSDS3, the transition from NSDS2 to NSDS3, the re-licensing of the CETAs or the new CETA landscape, which also has a direct impact on the work of the National Skills Fund. The same year saw the development of the third phase of the skills National Skills Development Strategy that followed extensive consultation processes that were facilitated by the National Skills Authority. And as has been the practice, the performance information and annual financial statements of the NSF are incorporated in the department's report. If we go to the annual report of the department, it would be starting from page 280 to page 353. That is the full content of the annual report of the skills, National Skills Fund. Going to the predetermined objectives, just as a reminder, the key performance areas of the National Skills Fund were mainly based on the targets as set out in the NSDS2. And if one goes back to the NSDS2, you would find them given in the form of different levers within that particular strategy. And as the Chairperson alluded to, those different levers also gave specific targets for the entire skills system of what sort of delivery has to take place during the period of that strategy. So ourselves as the NSF and the rest of the system, that is the 23 CETAs that existed during the period of the NSDS2, had to give effect to the achievement of those targets as set out in the NSDS2. Going to the first strategic objective of the NSF, provide funds that support projects identified as national priorities in the context of the NSDS 2 and later of the NSDS 3. The inclusion of the NSDS 3 in this strategic objective is linked to the plan that was there at the beginning of the year, where the consultations around NSDS 3 had already started with an end date of July 2010, where by the end of 2010, the implementation of the new strategy would have begun. So the planning within the NSF had to consider also the fact that at a point in time within the same year, the same reporting year, there would be another strategy that will kick in, taking out NSDS 2. So some of the planning that took place at the time, we're looking as well into the other work that the entire system, the entire skill system was already engaged in, work that was led by the National Skills Authority of consulting on the new strategy. Going into the activities that took place within the strategic objective, the support to support the development of priority skills through bursary allocation programs. And the main performance indicator there is the undergraduate bursaries that would be awarded, benefiting a targeted number of 2,800 people, specifically on critical skills. The performance in this regard, a total of 6,900 undergraduate bursaries were awarded for the period to support studies in the critical skills area. These were facilitated primarily through the National Student Financial Aid Scheme and CareerWise, and the rest through partnerships with provincial governments, as you, we will allude to that as we go further in the presentation, where the provincial governments come to play. The main reason for the major variance, as you would see, we had initially targeted to assist 2,800, but ended up financing overall 7,000 young people. Additional resources were provided due to increased demand for bursaries in the skills areas that were supported by this particular program. During the course of the year, ongoing interactions took place between the department, the NSFAS, and the various institutions of higher learning, where identified need for further funding was communicated to the department, and the NSF in that regard had to provide the necessary funding and ensure that the intended beneficiaries are reached in that process. On the performance indicator, second performance indicator within that activity, we had to also provide postgraduate bursaries for 1,200 people, mainly also on the critical skills area. To this end, our performance was 856 postgraduate bursaries that were awarded through the partnership that the department has with the National Research Foundation. The main reason for failure in the country. Going into the activity, second activity within that broader strategic objective, we were also set to support strategic projects that are targeting skills for macroeconomic policy initiatives of South Africa. The performance indicator to that effect was the skill skills learning programs targeting in the main learnerships and internships that would benefit 4,000 young people as the target at the point in time. 4,400 young people benefited from these learnerships and internships from projects that were implemented throughout the provincial governments in the projects, what we refer to as strategic projects that we entered into as the Department of Higher Education and Training with the provincial governments in support of the provincial growth and development strategies, the PGDSs. We believe that the set target in relation to that particular area was met within the year that the target was set. The next indicator was that on strategic project programs benefiting 8,000 young people. In this regard, we had just under 4,000 people who benefited from these programs, most of them being the skills programs. The main reason for that variance is the slow take of the projects in the third round of the strategic projects that contributed to this particular low achievement. Some of these projects would only commence during the period 2011-2012. This is partly also due to the review that the department had to undertake as it was involved in the transition from NSDS 2 to NSDS 3, and also recognizing the fact that there were significant changes in the strategic direction that was evolving in the discussions that were taking place within the NSA and the broader constituencies insofar as the National Skills Development Strategy was concerned. The next indicator is that of the scarce skills on artisan programs that aimed at benefiting 4,000 young people. Performance in this regard was over 5,000 people were indentured on various apprenticeships during the period concerned. That was performed in partnership with various sectors within the Department of Higher Education and Training. And we regard the target as having been met as it was developed within the context of the targets that were set in the broader NSDS 2. Coming to the fourth performance indicator within that activity of this broader strategic objective, the learning programs targeting workplaces to benefit 4,000 people. In this particular instance, workplace skill support programs and also the business process outsourcing and offshoring. In this area, the projects are supporting the DTI incentives and also the training layoff scheme. Talking about DTI, DTI engages with a number of companies on a variety of angles. But within that engagement, there is a skills element that completes the programs that the DTI is involved in with the companies. The skills element of those programs is then financed through our engagement with DTI and the respective companies by the National Skills Fund. Over 5,000 people benefited, and of those, 3,500 were in the business process outsourcing and offshoring area. The workplace development support another 2,148 learners are still in training, or at the time of the, or at the end of the financial year were still in training. The project came in to its completion by at the end of July this year. And in terms of the overall performance of the 2,000 of the 3,000 young people that were targeted, over 2,500 of them are fully employed in the various companies through which the training for call center agency took place. The training layoff scheme, in the period under review, a total of 520 workers benefited from the skills interventions in this area of training layoff scheme. Maybe I would have to caution here, because the training layoff scheme is administered by a partnership of the Department of Higher Education and Training, the Department of Labor, UIF in particular, and also the Department of Economic Development, Economic Development Department. And both this department, the Labor and DHET, have set aside or have allocated over R1 billion towards assisting of workers in this area. And the projects that run through the system are financed either by the allocation coming from the NSF or the allocation coming from the UIF. And administratively, because these amounts are allocated from different departments and sit in the books of these different departments, we only make reference to what was financed out of the funds that came directly out of the NSF. The other part of the beneficiaries in this overall training layoff scheme would be located within the Department of Labor and would be reported as such.
That to the department, you might report that we trained 500 people, only found that we trained only two in terms of your funds, and so on and so forth.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Your point is taken, and my explanation was then sort of also trying to give a reason as to why the figure is so low, because members could have read in other reports that the Minister of Economic Development may have already talked about, which talks about much more bigger numbers than the 520, which we are reflecting in our report. Coming to the next performance indicator, where we talk about the NSDS3 for each strategic priority, we should develop draft disbursement criteria and procedures. This was in anticipation of the NSDS3 being finalized by July, and between the period July to March, NSF working on all it had to work on in order to assist the processes of the implementation of the strategy. Following the official launch of the NSDS in this regard, draft criteria were developed to support the NSDS3. And going forward, we had to recommend the criteria and disbursement procedures to the National Skills Authority. And to that end, the draft of the NSF strategic framework and criteria for allocation of funds were presented to the NSA, deliberated on a number of occasions within the NSA and beyond the NSA. And in the reporting period, this was not finalized. However, since then, the minister approved the funding final criteria and disbursement procedures by the end of March. In terms of our original planning, this was intended to be at the end of March because it was looking at a point in time when the NSDS 3 would have been finalized as per the original plan. But it was not achieved. It was delayed due to the delay in the launch of the NSDS 3. Similarly, with the implementation of the NSDS 3 priorities in 2010-2014, which at the time of the development of the web plan of the NSF were not known, priorities that were not known. So in that regard, the NSF committed to have these priorities incorporated in the department's strategic plan. And to that end, that has taken place in the current strategic plan of the department. Monitoring and evaluation and evaluate the impact of the disbursements that were made. Both the M&E and impact strategy have not been developed as yet. The NSF, however, on its part, insofar as its M&E processes are concerned, continued to monitor the disbursements that it made through ongoing site visits that are taking place across the provinces where it has projects. And we would believe that we have partially achieved the objectives as set out in this broader activity. Coming to the next strategic objective, that of providing funds to support other projects that are pertinent to the achievement of the goals of the Skills Development Act, as determined by the Director General of the DHET. This is a strategic objective taken directly out of the Skills Development Act and reference to projects as determined by the DG DHET is further limited within the Skills Development Act by reference to the purpose of the Act. Whatever the determination by the DG would happen, it should be within the purpose of the Act. And in the purpose of the Act, there is a definition of what that purpose is. And whatever work that gets determined within the Department of Higher Education is limited to what the purpose of the Act is. And to that end, the main activity was to provide training opportunities that would benefit 108,000 people in the informal economy, including cooperatives, social development projects, and small medium enterprises. The performance results to that end, the fund established a partnership with the Department of Public Works, specifically the EPWP program, and committed over 200 million in funding. As a result of slow takeoff of the projects, only a total of 7,000 learners received training in the period under review, of which 6,000 of them were placed during this period. We should also understand that this engagement with the Department of Public Works is linked to the expanded public works programs that the department engages in, where there would be a requirement of some level of training for people to be able to participate in the work within the sphere of EPWP. The training of a community-based organization on skills development, a total of 333 CBOs benefited from various skills interventions. An actual total of 3,700 beneficiaries participated in the programs. The total expenditure of 19.6 million was expended. Some of the projects are still active, and it is envisaged that the target of 400 CBOs will be achieved during the remaining period. The reference to 3,700 people, these CBOs in the main come with people that need to be capacitated. So CPOs identified, the people who make up these CPOs become the major beneficiaries. Hence, we also make reference to the specific number of people who are contained in the various CPOs. Also assist the youth to establish new ventures. The NSF was advised in this regard to put on hold the new projects as a result of the impending NSDS3 strategy. And this project was as a result of that cancelled with the intention of properly dealing with it within the context of the NSDS3. Provision of ABET to unemployed people. The ABET, which was meant to be implemented through the DHET ABET centers, had to be shelved due to the transition processes, as we know that the activity was still within the provincial competency, and which created difficulties in terms of NSF accessing most of the centers. Every centers are under the control of provincial education departments, that is during the time when of the report. However, it didn't mean that no ABET engagements took place. We had a project literacy as one of the engagements we've had in this area of ABET, where a targeted number of people across the province benefited during this area. The target, one would say, was not met due to these experiences and the difficulties relating to transition of the department, and more in particular the subsystems that exist within the department, some of which were located or continue to be located at a provincial level. Further on the activities of performance indicators, the provision of capacity building grants for FET system to improve skills development provision, which was meant to be at the cost of 1.25 billion. This was necessitated insofar as the performance is concerned. There were delays in the launch of the NSDS3, and that necessitated the postponement of the activity, as these FETs were intended to facilitate skills development initiatives of the NSF. This is related to the fact that over the period of the existence of the Skills Development Act, very little engagement has been there between the skills environment and the FET colleges. The public sector in the main has not really featured in the delivery of skills during the past decade of the existence of the Skills Development Act in the country. And that got identified within the discussions and deliberations in the development of NSDS3 and got highlighted as an area of intervention. So in the original framework already during the time the NSF was putting together its plan, it was already an identified area of engagement. So this capacity building was then linked with the intention to ensure that we ready the system to be able to deliver in mass the kind of skills activities that the NSF would require in order to drive skills in the country. And also to provide grants for training of young people through the FET system to benefit over half a million young people. This was also had to be postponed specifically due to NSDS3 coming in quite late in the process, because we needed to have a framework and the basis on which we do this particular engagement with the public sector provisioning system, a public sector provisioning system. To strengthen the national skills development strategy provision through annual skills planning grants and NSA advocacy support. In this regard, we've assisted the NSA constituency members to do the work, and actual total constituency members that have benefited to that end is 2,600 members. Some of the projects have, at the time, were not yet completed. Once completed, the target of 3,000 people within these different constituencies of the NSA would be achieved. The implementation, to implement the strategic project as per the criteria and disbursement procedures. At the time of the development of the NSDS 3, there was a concept called COSE, or in full, a collaboration for occupational and sectoral excellence. Through this particular engagement, the NSF had put aside funding in order to appoint a consultant that would research the concept. This is linked to linking the output element of the subsystems within the Department of Higher Education in the form of your universities, technicons, and FETs to the work the CITAS have to do to facilitate placement of these young people in training and also in proper work engagement, as the honorable member had raised a question to that effect. However, this project could not take off due to changes in the conceptual framework of the NSF, of the National Skills Development Strategy 3. Because at the time when the framework, the initial framework was put up, the thinking within the NSF was beginning to align itself to what was coming out of the deliberations. And as the deliberations impacted on the overall makeup of the NSDS, the NSF also had to adapt to the actual framework that eventually became the working document, which is the National Skills Development Strategy 3. Provision of funding for Career Information Hotline, a total budget of $99 million has been approved. Was approved for career advisory services that would be implemented in partnership with SAGWA. This did take place, and a lot of career advice work is currently taking place, and at the end of the financial year, not much had been done because the actual work began in December of 2010. And a lot of work since then has taken place, which includes the collaboration that is there between the department, SAGWA, and the SABC, where there are ongoing career advisory programs taking place in all the vernacular languages in South Africa and in all the radio stations that are running on a weekly basis. Then, coming to the next activity, the steering of the development of the internal and external structures and systems that effectively enable the achievement of the above strategic objectives. To this end, the application of an accrual financial accounting system for the NSF that was targeted as the key area of delivery as was put on hold pending the finalization of the organizational structure of the DHET, more in particular the skills branch. This application is currently under review. The intention was not to find the NSF going all on a tangent outside the broader strategic direction that the department was crafting for itself. Also, the management of strategic planning, administration, financial management, performance management, organizational knowledge, reporting, human resource archiving, and procurement processes, and other services. These were all managed in collaboration with the Department of Higher Education and Training, because the department undertook
first slide under the financial report is just to pick up from where Mr. Matsikama ended, and that is just to indicate that the NSF is functioning within a framework currently in the department, where the corporate services forms part of that of the department. We have joint financial management between the office of the CFO in the department and the NSF, where some of the project activities are taking place. And one of the key challenges, as also already indicated, is the matter around the modified cash basis of accounting that we have in government compared to the requirement of the NSF to report on an accrual basis of accounting. That is because of the relationship currently. If one look at the definition in the Skills Act, that the NSF is regarded as a public entity although not listed, and the agreement with the Auditor General and National Treasury is that the NSF will account according to the requirements of public entities. Now, for that purpose specifically, we have procured the services of PwC to assist with this whole issue of the conversion of the modified cash basis into accrual accounting, simply because we are running on the BAS system like all government departments, and all the financial records of the NSF is therefore on BAS and have to be converted into an accrual basis of accounting. Now, if we look at firstly the financial position of the NSF then, specifically for 2010-11, firstly the total revenue for the NSF amounted to 2.1 billion rand. The majority of that, obviously the levy portion that the NSF receives, and approximately 15 million of that was the government contribution through the exchequer for the NSF. Total expenditure amounted to around 633 million rand, the majority of that for grant disbursements, NSF projects specifically, which was approximately 564 million in total. The other costs reflected there, the employee costs, the operating expenditure management fees, that includes bank charges, etc., and also SARS collection fees, are mainly the administrative costs that were applicable for the 2011 financial year, and that is in total approximately 69 to 70 million rand. That gave then a net surplus for the NSF on the funds for 2010-11 of 1.476 billion. Now, if we look at the total assets and the total liabilities of the NSF, total assets account for 6.792 billion and total liabilities at the moment around 183 million, which gives a net asset for the NSF of 6.608 billion rand. We then have an additional slide which was not included in the original pack. For purposes of clarification, we included what we have, the contract commitments at the current moment, which is also reflected within the financial statements of the NSF. Just to give an indication that from the 6.6 billion net asset value that we currently have, there is a total commitment of 1.185 billion on existing projects, and they are listed there. Those are already approved projects which are currently continuing, and those are some of the outstanding amounts on those specific contracts. Those are commitments before they can reflect as actual expenditure. That brings, if one take these commitments into account, and that's the main reason why we included this slide, and you take the total net asset value of the NSF, there is approximately 5.4 billion rand still available for disbursement within the NSF. That was the status on 1 April this year. Chairperson, if we look at the Auditor General's report,
It is very long, and I think one just want to highlight some of the key areas. First of all, we did note that it is an unqualified audit opinion. However, there are some matters raised by the Auditor General. And firstly, the irregular expenditure, that is in total 48.4 million rand, and the majority thereof around the situation of the evaluation and adjudication criteria for some of the projects that differed in terms of the report from the original requests for proposals documentation. Now, this matter is currently within the NSF under investigation and assessment, and to date, it would appear that most of these areas can be condoned. We expect that the investigation will be concluded by 30 November, whereafter the necessary steps will be taken. Then there's also quite an amount of restatements of corresponding figures, which are corrections of some of the accounts of the 2019 financial year, and they are all reflected in note number 26. That is from page around 351 of the annual report. Now, it's important to note that these are mainly adjustments of the previous financial year, so it's not a reflection of the activities of 2010-11, and it is to ensure that your corresponding figures are the same as for the current financial year. So, for instance, if you would have changed a specific policy and you need to adjust your comparative figures of the previous year, otherwise it looks very different when you compare apples with pears. So you make the previous year apples as well, so that it's easier to compare. Some additional matters which also did not affect the audit's opinion. The Auditor General once again raised the issue of the NSF that is not listed as a public entity. And Chairperson, during the presentation of the department a few weeks earlier, this matter also were raised, and perhaps just status at the moment, we did reflect on the meeting we had with National Treasury. Treasury promised us a report, especially based on legal advice that Treasury was seeking. By the end of September, we have not yet received Treasury's report. The last communication we had was the past Friday, the 28th of October, where they indicated that they finalized now their investigation and they received an opinion, and they are communicating that to the head of the department in Treasury, and we would soon receive something from their side, but we do not know what the outcome of that is yet. Then also the issue of material underspending, which is a recurring situation within the NSF. It was reported in previous financial years as well. If one look at total spending compared to total revenue, there is material underspending, and I think that is currently a matter that the department and the NSF is trying to address as well. Then in terms of predetermined objectives, although that's been reported already, some of the areas raised by the Auditor General, specifically on predetermined objectives, like with the department and with many other public entities and departments in government, the Auditor General did indicate that there are some inconsistencies when you compare the reported information with the initial planned strategic objectives. Also that some of the indicators are not well defined and not always measurable, valid, accurate, and complete. This is something that we as the department try to address seriously, and during the last strategic session of the department, we invited National Treasury as well as the Auditor General to make presentations to indicate the requirements specifically and what can be done to improve the current strategic objectives of the department as well as that of the NSF, and to take that forward in our strategic plan for 2012. So so that we can improve on that and on the reporting thereof. Chair, then, in terms of the various audit findings, I think it's also important to indicate that there is a plan of action that was prepared jointly by the department and the NSF. Based on all the audit findings, now these include even findings or audit queries that are not officially listed in the Auditor General's report. One must remember that when the audit is going on, there are various areas of concerns or various queries raised by the Auditor General. Some of those can be clarified, but even if it's clarified through explanations, we listed those and included that in our action plan so that one can try and clear those areas of uncertainties as well. So even if they can be explained, why was it a query in the first place and what should we do to prevent that from reoccurring in future financial years? Now, the plan basically addressed the areas indicated there, all the areas identified. It includes the areas related to predetermined objectives, various internal operations within the NSF, as well as the management of financial activities, and that includes the issue already raised by the Chief Director previously, the implementation of a separate financial accounting system to address the requirements of the accrual accounting method of accounting. Now, Chairperson, I think I must just flag here also the issue, why was this not done previously or during the last financial year already? The issue is that to procure an accounting system and get that to be started and running is an expensive exercise. It's not something that you just do off the shelf, because that is definitely not worth that kind of money when you start to do the whole exercise. And as a result, the department took a decision last year to say, jointly with the NSF, until we are not certain of the institutional form that the NSF will have within this new framework of government, we do not want to procure that system. It may become fruitless expenditure, and we would rather wait and use support in the meantime to ensure that we can do what is required in terms of the Act before we enter into large spending of systems and all kinds of new areas of IT and new machinery to be able to carry that system. Let's rather just work on current support in order to do what is legally required from us before we enter into huge expenditure. I can also indicate at this point in time that we do have now also, and we are just awaiting the accounting officer's approval, entered into an agreement with PwC where we do have a pastel basis, and PwC will assist the NSF to perform the accounting of the NSF on the pastel basis without procuring of the system. So we only pay for operational support, and that will be the suggestion until we have clarity of what's going to happen with the NSF. We procure the service for a period of longer than 12 months just to make sure that we have a buffer in terms of time until we have final clarity and what we can do then. The action plan, as I indicated, was approved by the accounting authority. That is now the full plan and all the corrective measures to be taken. That plan is now in implementation, and the first report will be at the end of November 2011. And it will in future be monitored on a monthly basis, and there will also be reports that we will have to send to the Audit Committee. The Audit Committee also took note of the plan. In fact, they met on Monday and had full insight into the plan. So I'm going to hand back to Mr. Matsikama just to deal with the last portion, which is the NSF funding framework. Thank you, Chair.
Not only just accept that we see the framework, to really need to present the
totally agreeing with the department and the AG that there's a need for a framework, and you don't need to be actually like a tender board when you offer grants and so on. I mean, we agree on that. The AG is happy. Maybe the CFO could just clarify on page 16 on this aspect of secondment of an official from Metropolitan. I mean, insofar as I understand, in terms of the Public Service Act, you can only second a person from another government structure. You may not have a secondment from the private sector. Well, what does that mean? Just explain that clearly for us. And I know that the NSF does not necessarily give tenders. I mean, it is the department that does so. What is meant here is it the old argument between the AG and the department as to whether when you offer a grant, you must sort of follow a tender process. So.
In terms of the secondment matter, that is now part of our audit action plan to do with all the irregular expenditure areas. And that specific area, during the financial year, and I must or can also indicate that that was previously the case, that secondments did take place. For example, previously in the Department of Education, where there were specific expertise required, secondments did take place from universities, it did take place from even some labor unions to the department to perform certain work. Within that same framework and within the guidance that we received from our HR component, we were in a position to do the secondment of Mr. Matsikama at that point in time from Metropolitan to the department. There was, however, then a legal opinion by the Auditor General that that secondment would not be legal because of the fact that it is a private institution. We are still looking into that matter to double-check that, but for the interim, the expenditure linked to the salary of Mr. Matsikama for that financial year was then recorded as irregular to comply in that respect, and we are investigating that. We are, however, of the opinion that regardless the outcome of that investigation or based on the decision that was taken during 2010-11, that we will be in a position to submit that for condonement to the accounting officer. The accounting officer of the department did, in fact, approve the secondment before the department entered into that. I'm going to ask Mr. Matsikama to respond to the principle around grants and tenders that was fully deliberated with the IG and National Treasury.
Through you, Chairperson, thank you. You are quite right. The NSF is not engaged in tendering processes. However, during the time of the audit and the development of the query by the AG in relation to this specific matter of the contracts that were regarded as irregular, the AG was still operating on the basis that the NSF is engaged in tendering as well. So we had a long protracted discussion.
the chief whip. Chair, I don't know. This is the first question. If not, but basically I wanted to check in terms of the assistance that the NSF is saying they want to establish a new venture in terms of assisting youth. I need to get a pure clarity there in terms of all the processes and in terms of your selection in terms of those youth. Because as a young person, I advocate for young people, and I need to ensure that you go to the relevant young people that really need this assistance. So I want to get well of that. The other thing was related to your career information hotline. My question will be that will be the hotline be a toll free, or will be a line that also will cost these young, poor young people? That's my questions. I guess the other one, it was related to the auditor generals that you just were able to respond. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. The members were handed a document titled Overview of the National Skills Fund 2010-11 Annual Report. Chair, it contains quite a few two sets of crucial questions. Is it possible to give this document to the people of the fund and ask them to give us answers on these questions in writing? Have you seen the document? We need answers on these questions. They are crucial questions, and I would like to suggest that they give us the answers on these questions in writing. Two sets of questions. My colleague is going to deal with the financial matters, but I need to know on slide 7 or page 7 and 8, there are several targets. But Chair, our country and the needs of our country lies with millions of people who are untrained, jobless, and desperately poor. How do they determine these targets? And even if we add up all these figures, we won't reach 1 million. So I need to know, how do they determine these targets, and why are they so low? Then on page 10, just a correction, we don't refer to ABET any longer. The B is taken out, so it's AET, Adult Education and Training. And then on slide 11, page 11, you refer to the acronym COSE. Will you just repeat the explanation as to what it entails? And we need some more information on this. What is strange is, after this was established, an amount of 102,000 was approved to appoint consultants to research this concept. Why wasn't it done before this concept or this project was established? It seems to be that the cart was put before the horse. You refer to the SABC career programs in all languages. Is it really all languages? All 11 languages? We need an answer on that also, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I go over to my question, I just need to make a statement here so that you don't read it outside of this meeting. But the Democratic Alliance is highly upset about the way in which the National Skills Fund has been managed over many years. And the last year, the specific one that we've had the report on, has been a particularly bad one for the National Skills Fund. And we believe that there should be political responsibility should be taken for this. The department is very quick to blame CETAS and universities, etc., for not fulfilling their mandates. But in this respect, we have a fund that is fully, line functionally speaking, part of the Department of Higher Education and Training.
and the Department of Higher Education and Training is failing this country and the young people of this country. Skills development should contribute to job creation. One way to kill off jobs is to take taxes and then don't spend it. And this is what we are seeing in terms of the skills fund. We've also been handed the document today regarding the future funding framework of the National Skills Fund, and thank you very much for that document. But in that document it says that the skills fund is dependent on partners to do the training, and that the fund has outgrown or outrun the ability of the partners to come up and train learners. Chair, I believe that is completely false. If we speak to CETAs, many of them have had far more applications for learnerships than what they could fund, even in this last year. If you look at community-based organizations, and you may have heard me in Parliament saying it's wrong that our community-based organizations must rely on churches, the lotto, and foreign donors to fund training in our communities. This, while we are sitting with a fund that has got a challenge to spend its money. Chair, this is an indictment against this government that we are unable to really let that money flow and benefit those people that it has been intended to. Now, coming to my question is, when will this be fixed? That's the easy, short question. Will we sit here 12 months from now, because remember we're already 7 months plus into this current financial year, can the officials today assure us that the problems that were highlighted by the Auditor General, the problems that were highlighted in terms of the lack of spending, etc., the fact that money has now started to be spent on things that actually the National Students Financial Aid Scheme, etc., should take responsibility for, because now suddenly, in an effort to empty the purse, money has been thrown into bursaries, where we have actually in this country a national bursary scheme for students. My question is, will this be fixed in this financial year? Yes or no? Or must we do something? Do you need a political decision from Parliament to allow you to fix this? Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. On slide 5, where it talks about APET, it says the APET meant to be implemented through DHET. APET centers had to be shelved due to the transition processes. Is that still the case up to now? My last question is related to predetermined objectives. Actually, on the part of that deals with the findings of the Auditor General. Somewhere, it's slide 10 on my document. The first bullet, predetermined objectives. Reported indicators not consistent with planned strategic objectives. Does this mean that strat plans are modified after approval, or are they adapted for implementation after approval? What's the situation? Thanks.
Non-performance in terms of spending is concerning. That each year there will be carryover billions to the next financial year. If there's no capacity to spend the money, that capacity should be built, because it should be worrying the country to have money that can be even diverted elsewhere where there's need. It has to stay with the fund but the fund is incapable of handling that money. You know, as if we're stuck with a problem. You can't be stuck with money somewhere and you are unable to use it. I think we must find mechanisms to unlock that particular handle, that particular problem that exists. But however, let me proceed and raise some few questions. When we met SACWA some few weeks back, they, probably last week, they raised the issue of their helpline and the career advisory center, which today we are told NSF, in partnership with SACWA, is handling that part. But they go to the extent of spending about 99 million on it. Whose ownership is it? Who runs with that? Is it you or is it SACWA? Or you funding both that center, both of you? What is happening? Just inform us properly. The monitoring and the evaluation capacity in which you reported that you're doing site visits and so on, but as well in your documentation, other documents, there's indication that you could not even have reports submitted from those particular projects, and that you yourself do not have the required capacity to do that effective monitoring. The third, Chair, most of the stats we've given are rightfully so, probably, at the national level, but it's useful to understand the provincial breakdown of what is being done where, because at times, even with the monies that we are told is committed to some projects from the previous financial year, the manner in which things seems to be changed, perhaps willy-nilly, it's possible that these commitments we are told with today, tomorrow, such projects may not be there. You know, at what point do we get to know that, yes, these projects are as reported on the ground? You know, so that you don't have data that is fed to us, but if you were to go about investigating that, you may not find this particular project. And I'm raising that, Chair, because at times you find that the language is not the same. You may be told something today, this time around, and you may find that previously you were told of something else. We must be able to reconcile that and there be consistency in the manner in which reports are given to us. This lack of capacity and the capacity that existed before, whilst most of the work was done by the Department of Labor and that transfer, particularly at provincial level, was there no way in which we could have continued to utilize that infrastructure so that you don't necessarily rely on yours, which does not exist, and you are stuck when perhaps there was another system that was utilized, unless if that was going to be somewhat raising legal accountability problems? But why was there no or sudden departure from that particular system to another which was not necessarily in place or its capacity was found wanting?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. And coming to the youth assistance, what processes do the NSF follow for the selection of the youth that would benefit through the SMME training. As indicated, for this particular program, the NSF did not continue with it. And as such, there was no request for proposal that was issued. In the request for proposal, it would have been stipulated that the youth that should benefit would have to come from different provinces and also should be in the main the unemployed young people, because the major focus of the NSF would be unemployed young people. And the basis of evaluation looks then into whether the targeted youth is the one that is reflected in the request for proposals. What then the NSF would, under normal circumstances, do is to do what it refers to as a due diligence exercise that looks deeper by going into the applicants themselves to find out how is this particular process going to be dealt with. That is, getting the youth that has to be beneficiaries of the project and also the target areas where the project has to be delivered. However, for this particular one, no activity ever took place. So there is really nothing we can report in relation to it. Then coming to the question of the replies that are required, as the Honorable Member has indicated, we will welcome the report and we will have a look into it and provide the necessary responses. How do we set these targets in view of the amount of need that exists in the country for skills? In the new strategy, the National Skills Development Strategy, one of the critiques during the consultation processes was that the skills system has found itself under NSDS too constrained in particular targets which were set from day one of that strategy that covered the 5-year period. Then the entire skills system in the form of the 23 CTAs and the NSF located their annual engagement in skills development within those targets that were set in that 5-year strategy. So, interestingly, you look at how the entire system has delivered over the past 5 years, with the exception, of course, of this last year insofar as the NSF is concerned, where we've, and in other areas, under-delivered. The entire system has overachieved year in, year out in terms of its targets, because these targets, what ended up happening within the system is you look at the target over a 5-year period, you divide that target by 5, and it gives you your annual targets. And as a result of that, instead of the issue of engaging with skills development becoming a dynamic and interactive one that responds to realities that exist from time to time, it becomes a matter as outlined in the strategy where, if I may make an example, AET is regarded as a major intervention that has to happen within the skills environment. And then the numbers are set, I think, 500,000. And each CETA, including those, if you were looking at whether the AET is relevant in a particular CETA, all of them have that target to meet of training people on adult education and training. So across the years, each one delivers on that particular one, including in the main for the consultant to engage in the process. The money itself was not utilized. We had set aside that particular amount of money, but the activity didn't take place because in the evolution of the NSDS 3 last year, it became one of those elements that were in the initial draft framework, but I would say lost the taste in the processes of engagement up to a point of the conclusion of the strategy. So whilst we're planning on the basis that there are these elements that will come up in the coming strategy, so we need to take into account the fact that there will have to be work, but as the strategy concluded, some of these things were not there anymore, and some of them we were then stuck with a situation where a document has now been published with an indication of what we think would come out on the basis of the framework that got issued, and now some of these are not there anymore on the final document, and as such we were not in a position to engage with that activity. The career advice, is it in all languages? At the moment, it is mainly in the other 10 languages, 9 other languages, except for English and Afrikaans. There is work that is taking place in that regard to investigate and also and ensure that the Afrikaans language in particular, because seemingly the English one, there's not so much, in particular on the Afrikaans language, there is a process to make a follow-up that the same is also taking place there. That's an answer in relation to the career advice. On the issue of understanding by the NSF in the light of the huge skills gap that exists in the country, and the fact that the taxes that have been collected find themselves not being spent by the system. Chairperson, allow me to indulge the House in this regard. In our engagement with the Portfolio Committee in the previous year, in 2010, one of the areas that we took forward to the Portfolio Committee was the fact that an investigation was done on our side to look at what are these constraints that make this system not spend as it is expected to spend. One of the major findings was that in view of the fact that so much amount of money came into the system over 10 years ago, this money comes into the system without any provision for capacity through which spending would take place. You had a situation where the existing schooling system and higher education system, for the years of the existence of the skills system, were not necessarily utilized to the extent that one would have expected. And the non-utilization of these institutions meant that there was a vacuum in view of the fact that money comes into the system and the other institutions that exist relating to training and education being not utilized by the system. Perhaps due to the fact that the location of the Skills Act itself was in a department not necessarily dealing with issues of education. Then out of that, a mushrooming of providers did take place. And within the context of the NSF alone, in its own database of training providers, it has no less than 15,000 training providers. And naturally, you would therefore expect that there is no way the country would be short of skills. And if one extrapolates that for the entire system, you could say some of those providers could be serving the entire system of 21 sitters or 23 sitters as they existed then. And perhaps you can then say of the 15,000, you just multiply by 10, giving you 150,000 training providers that exist in the system as the extrapolation. And the direct result of that particular situation has been, because all of these providers are accredited in one way or another in the kind of areas that they engage in, the effect has been a situation where young people have moved from one training to another because there is funding that is available or made available. And through that move from one training to another, in the years that they spend in them, they collect certificates of competence in those kind of skills that are given by this existing group of providers, to a point where when a young person applies for a job, which is a common factor these days, their CVs on the table look like a tender document because it has a variety of certificates all at the same level, lower in the main. And even when you add all of these certificates together, they still don't take the young person to a better level. And on top of that, these certificates cannot even articulate to the other subsystems that are there in the higher education environment, either in the form of FETs or universities or technicons. This is the reality that became of the availability of this funding. Hence, the new strategy talks about the capacitation of the public provisioning system for skills so that the 500,000 that is referred to is able to receive the relevant skills because the skills system sees the FETs and technicons and even the universities as a platform through which skills have to be delivered. The necessary legislative changes and also the framework that the NSF has developed begin to speak to this critical element whereby we will be in a position to open up variety of opportunities also in the level of the FET colleges, which are accessible and are across the country and have got some level of what one would refer to as articulation insofar as the other subsystems that are within the entire schooling system, if one looks at the higher education and basic education. These are some of the realities which, in looking forward to how the spending is going to take place, we could not ignore. I also would like to give an indication that, yes, with the number of unsolicited proposals that the NSF receives day in and day out, the 7 billion is far less than than what the NSF receives applications for. But in the main, in looking at a number of these particular situations, there is an element of the perpetuation of the environment that the minister has identified and said it is not right for young people. It's not right for young people to continue collecting these short courses and these other engagements, either in learnerships or in artisanships that do not enable them to engage productively in the places of work. There is an artisan development engagement which is also looking at the kind of offerings in that environment. As we know, with the 23 sitas that existed, we had no less than 10 systems on how artisans developed. If you talk about an electrician, we had in South Africa 10 ways an electrician becomes an artisan on the electrician side of things is developed. And these are the realities that led to situations where young people, even when they carried the certificates, employers still said they are worthless. And the department has engaged itself in a number of corrective processes that begin to say, even when we spend going forward, we should be spending for value. We seek to spend on value. Obviously, now that we are releasing the funding framework as well, it is also the expectation of the department that the members in this house and obviously everyone else who has a stake in education and training would give the necessary advice in ensuring that what we are trying to do as a department is also enhanced to ensure that we make a meaningful impact on the shortage of skills that is gripping the country. On the AET, whether there is still the case that we have shelved the AET engagements. As I indicated, there is already other projects that we are running through other entities like ProLit, Project Literacy, that are focused in the main at the AET level. We are also, as a department, noting the fact that this is a critical element of engagement for the department, and the unit that deals with AET within the FET branch, we are on constant engagement as part of the same family to seek better ways of engaging in the area of AET, because we also want a situation where what exists in the public service or in public sector is broadened, because most of what exists within the public sector is accessible to most people. It's not a question that you give a particular entity or provider funding and then they go out to look for people and venue and all those things so that they offer the AET or some skills program. You know that what exists within the public sector is there and is reachable and is accessible to the most people who would require that service most. So we are engaging and ensuring that within the department there has to be an effective rollout of this program so that people don't have to look around for when they need to engage in adult education and training. I take the point of the concerns raised by the Honourable Member with regard to monies that remain in the system unused. The DDG always makes comments to the effect that it is a very difficult sin to carry to have so much money while the country is in so much need of skills, and that we are all having an emergent responsibility to they raised the issue of the center. We are working with SAQUA, and even though we had initially agreed on a 99 million rand engagement with them, for the first part, the main engagement was only at 20 million rand, and quite a lot of work was done in that area. And the center that they put up is a center that they run themselves. Our team, as the NSF and also the Department of Higher Education and Training, is involved in a committee that sets the agenda of how the advice should go, what should be included in the advice, what other elements of career advice should be used that would be able to reach most people, because not everyone accesses radio, and at the same time, that information that is accessed through the radio, it will be lost easily to those who are listening. So what physical information are we also going to be driving in the process? So our team that works closely with the SAQUA team, that also involves the CETAS, is looking at a comprehensive career advisory service that will begin to coordinate other efforts that are out there in the country, because the whole issue of career guidance has been a problematic matter in South Africa in view of the fact that it has been so disintegrated. Quite a number of career advice activities that are taking place tend to be driven in the main by people who also have specific interest in attracting people towards what they are offering. And that kind of advice, which is not linked to the broader objectives and requirements of the economy, which does exist in the country at the moment, have been problematic. So this broader engagement seeks to bring together as many players as possible that would ensure that in the country we now have a comprehensive advisory service. So the call center matter is just but one little engagement in this broader career advice activity undertaken. On the M&E, the site visits, and also the fact that there's an indication that in our we could not receive certain reports as a department. The site visits, yes, we do undertake those. The area where we were not in a position to receive the kind of reports we had expected, it relates in the main to to situations where we had projects that were approved for implementation at the regional offices of DOL. And we would recall that when the NSF was still at DOL, the department itself created the necessary staff that would be linked to the activities of the NSF that were located in all the regions where the Department of Labor operated. During the move, whilst that staff was specifically employed to engage with NSF activities, during the move to the new department, that provincial and regional staff didn't move with. Labor on their side found a way of engaging that staff in other activities in view of the fact that NSF was no longer there. Whilst at the same time, in terms of the agreement, the NMOS agreement that existed, there was still an understanding and acknowledgement of the fact that the NSF would still receive services from the Department of Labor. We do, on a number of occasions and situations, receive the kind of information we require, but it does not always come at the time it is required. And when it comes to issues of audit, times and dates when information is required, and going past those times lead us to the kind of situations we are facing. We are obviously continuing as the NSF to engage and discuss with the Department of Labor, because quite a number of those projects are only have only come to an end during the course of 2011-2012, which means the same situation would exist in the following year if we do not address these matters. But we have engagements with that section that the NSF used to be located at, so that the information relating to both the year that we are reviewing now and the year that will be coming, to ensure that we have that particular information. On the provincial breakdown, I fully agree with you on that, and as we move forward, that's one of the main areas we are focusing on insofar as reporting is concerned. Whilst funding was given at some stage directly to provinces so that they look at the skills needs as identified within their PGDSs, provincial growth and development strategies, we have now also in the funding framework gone as far as to give an indication of how should the spending of the NSF flow into the different provinces and how should it be benefiting province by province. This element didn't exist much in the previous environment. Even though we could still extrapolate some of information and be in a position to give some level of information relating to provinces, but it would not be as accurate as we are now moving into the implementation of programs per the new framework and strategy. The consistency, absolutely, we are taking the point. Was there an opportunity for us to continue with the systems that we're using in Dawn? From the accounting point of view, even when the NSF was in Dawn, it had no accounting system. It relied heavily on the services of consultants when it came to the matter of putting together the financial statements. And the absence of the system has, I would understand, in the past has led on a number of occasions to disclaimers insofar as the financial information and reporting relating to the NSF is concerned. But since there was then an engagement of other players, so as to help in the process, a lot of improvement has been recorded. And to maintain that status and also improve more on it, we are seeking to look at how best we bridge the gap between not having a fully fledged system and also a situation where you have absolutely nothing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. The Portfolio Committee of Police takes a week to interrogate the annual report of the police. And some think that maybe we need to adopt the same approach. But we will still discuss that, whether our approach is not a good one. We're thinking ours is a good approach, but we don't usually get the necessary cooperation, because we said to the NSFAS last time that they must respond to some questions in writing, and they have not come back. And the tendency is that as soon as they get out of the parliamentary chambers, they might be forgetting our requests, because the way we operate, We look at you as the executive, and we are the legislature. So there is that element of deference or separation of powers, which is very special in the sense that almost all ministers are members of parliament. They are drawn from parliament, and they belong to us as the way of working together. So we will ask you to also respond in a written way to the questions as suggested by Dr. Clovis Lawrence in terms of that document that has been circulated. I won't give you any timelines. I'll just want to check how the executive functions when Parliament would have requested a written response. The things which I thought we need to look at, which don't really relate to the year under review, would say that the system, the higher education system that must help us train people is facing a crisis. We're speaking here as people responsible for the sector, and we need to own up to that. Unlike when government was advised about the collapse of the energy sector, no action until we began to see electricity going off the houses. That's when we realized the magnitude of the problem. Here, in the next 10 years, 50% of all professors are going to retire. We're not saying 10 decades. We're saying only 10 years, a decade. There's a need for a next generation of academics, and even, artisans in FETs, because we got it from the very department that 57% of the staff in the FETs are not properly qualified. That is an indictment. So let's have, because we've got funds, let's have a project specifically for academics, a project for the FETs, so that they develop the necessary capacity to expand access to education, because without doing that, we're not going to make a dent on these problems. And we have said that out in our strength and as a portfolio committee. The last moment we met with the chairpersons of the CETA boards and CEOs, one brave CEO stood up there and said, "You are saying we've got billions. We don't have billions because most of these monies are committed." Now the committee, as far back as then, said, go and quantify all the projects that we say these monies are committed to, so that we can see these projects. So literally go out and say, we've got 1 billion in this 50 or 700 projects. Where are these projects? Because I can tell you straight here, there is one school of excellence training young people football and so on, the skills. But that school may not be existing, I'll talk to you about this kind of things. So that once we quantify, we're going to be able to say, this is really existing. These projects are there, they're alive. We see where we put money. Let's say a project is being implemented, we pay people because they've done some service. We must check. A forensic accounting methodology must be employed for us to be able to come to a level where we as a portfolio committee are satisfied that we know the projects that are there in our sector through the NSF. We know them and we're able to say we are satisfied that we are properly managing these institutions and we are able to put our hand where there's a need for intervention. This morning, before I came here, I also was at the meeting of the parliamentary leadership of the ANC. They also expressed concern, as the DA has, on the matter of underspending by the NSF, that was said by the ANC in parliament. They were referring that to me probably because I'm chairing the portfolio committee. And I know that last week I was not here, I was somewhere else deployed by parliament. Newspapers were saying this portfolio committee has reduced itself to a pressinger of the minister. I have not seen that newspaper, but I'm told it is. I'm still researching on which newspapers that.
maybe they don't know our approach. Our approach, I thought, was meticulous, and we just need to firm it up and strengthen it. On the question of the irregular transaction that you say relates to NSF, I must say that you must make an application to the National Treasury for condonation. I understand that's where condonation is done. And then thereafter, then the executing, I mean the accounting officer can then do the regularization process. And I think let's do that. The money that has been spent as payments to Mr. Matikama cannot be recovered because he had been providing service to the state and so on and so forth. So let's try and finalize that and have it be handed us, because we would not like to be processing this sort of matters endlessly. Lastly, from me, is that if the 21 CETAs and NSF could make sure that they do not overachieve because they've set the targets initially very low, we need to be realistic in targeting. And I know that we are talking of a report which already relate to things we had addressed. I remember with the department we said we need to look at the issue of setting proper targets and reporting on our targets. Where there are variations, we explain them to the AG. There would not be any problems. In fact, the reason why the portfolio committee has got a good relationship with the AG is because when the AG wants to meet us, we go there running as a portfolio committee. Say, what do you want to? They say, we don't seem to be working on this aspect, then please go and impress on the department to perform on these areas. And what we do in return, we engage the department, we even have our workshops together, and we try and resolve those. That's why the parliamentary leadership of the ANC this morning was not unhappy with me when I said the department has an unqualified report, the NSFAS has an unqualified report. In spite of the fact that they had a disclaimer initially and so on. Those are very important improvements that we've got to acknowledge as a fellow committee. We are not praising the minister, we are merely saying those are the things that are there. I mean, if we are praising by saying that there are unqualified reports, then the newspapers must be happy that that's the reality. The strategic framework, we accept it. It will be a basis for you awarding grants. The AG would not be having problems with you on that aspect. Let's make sure that all the improvements. I understand that there's a meeting coming. I can hear an honourable member speaking to an official that there's a meeting that must happen here now. I'm going to adjourn this hearing at this point and apologize in advance to a comrade who should be having a meeting in this place, and say to members of parliament that apparently your skills research somewhere has been approved with particular alterations. Apparently only 7 members are left to go. I will engage with members outside now because this meeting is adjourned. I should thank the officials of the department and National Skills Authority for their contributions. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
or any management school, or also what they must not order in Lukuzana, in land. Go woman buy a pen of a fund, but I guess it's a hammer getting a job, who must not scratch in his hand. Social police,
please don't.